Welcome back to Kidman Talk, or if this is your first time listening, welcome. I'm your host, Carl Bastian, a.k.a. The Kidologist, creator of Kidology.org, the richest, deepest, most expansive Kidman site on the internet, a place you can get lost if you take the time to start exploring all that has been added there weekly for 17 years. Today we're going to try and catch up to Greg Baird on the road and hear about Group's Kidman Conference. We're going to try and find out what the letter D stands for in our Kidman keyword, and I'm going to answer the question, what makes a great volunteer? That came in from a listener who is shaping the show. Our show today is sponsored by River's Edge, a great children's church curriculum provider, and it includes an awesome free family resource download you definitely want to snag before it is pulled. So let's talk Kidman. Well, I'm so glad to be back. And first off, right off the bat, I've got to tell you a little bit about River's Edge, so indulge me. I know no one likes commercials, but here in children's ministry, we don't consider it commercials. We consider it swapping resources. And on Kidology, I want you to know, we love sharing with you great resources. And River's Edge is one of those awesome children's church curriculum providers because it comes from some people who are in the trenches writing stuff for Children's Church, and they do such a fantastic job. And right now, they are featuring a brand new unit called Heaven's Kitchen, which, of course, I love because of the Kids Church Cookbook, which I'll talk about another time, and you've heard all about that. And in fact, they're offering a special 20% off if you just use a discount code, which you'll find in the show notes. And it is incredible. And to show you just how awesome it is, they have given me permission to completely give away for you the family component. And it's called Heaven's Kitchen Family Concoctions. And you have got to download this. Now, it's only going to be there for a limited time. And in fact, I can't even believe that Deanna wants to give away the whole thing. But this is a family devotional book. I mean, these aren't just little family devotions. I mean, there are five complete chapters, and each one of these chapters has a parable to read to the kids. There's discussion questions. There's dialogue. There's little dramas you can act out. There's family journal ideas. There's some kitchen science stuff to do with your kids. There's suggestions for outings to do with your kids and crafts to do with your kids, recipes of stuff you can cook with your kids. And there's five chapters. I mean, this is a huge PDF. In fact, let me scroll to the end here. It's taking me a while to scroll. Indulge me. I'm going to scroll all the way to the end. This is a 60-page book that you can download 4 megabytes right off the show notes. So check out this Heaven's Kitchen curriculum. There is an elementary and a preschool unit. It comes with this parent resource. Of course, you can just snag the parent resource. But I would encourage you to check out this unit, check out all of the River's Edge resources. It's high quality, awesome stuff. You'll definitely be coming back for more. Well, what's going on in the world of children's ministry? Well, if you're up there in Canada, before time passes, coming up very quickly is the Kid Builder Conference. If you can't go up there or you don't speak Canadian, sorry, I just had to stick that in there again, be sure to check out the audio download product that we have in the store from last year's sessions, and you can get that for a limited time, and I would encourage you to take advantage of that. But this Kidman conference that Group put on just finished, and we want to find out what was it like for those who couldn't be there. What was unique about it? What was different? Well, we have a man who was there, and he's on the road right now, and I'm going to try and call him. Now, I have no idea if this is going to work. But we're gonna give it a shot right now. We're gonna call Greg Baird and see if we can't get him. Now, he's on the road. As you know, he's one of the Kids Blitz presenters, a former children's pastor. He's got Kidman jobs. He's just a guy that's out there serving all the time. And right now, he is on the road driving 700 miles to serve churches. And he said I could call him and he'd give us the scoop. He would tell us all about the Kidman Conference. So we're hoping that I'm not going to say the carrier, but it's that really terrible one, and you all know who that is.
Hey, who's Greg Baird? I can't take your call right now.
Oh,
your name, your number.
We got his voicemail.
Message. I'll call you back as soon as I can.
All right.
Tone,
so,
please record your message.
We're going to leave him a message.
You're finished recording. You may hang up or press 1 for more options.
All right, Greg, this is Carl, and I'm recording Kidman Talk. You must be in a dead zone, so I'm going to try you back in a few minutes. All right, we're going to try him again. He's probably driving there through the desert or stopped for gas or something like that. So we're just going to keep on moving. Well, I've got a fun weekend planned. I am headed out to California, and I'm going to be doing my very first wedding. Now, you might think that's kind of crazy. I was a pastor for over 15 years, and but you know, when you're a children's pastor, you don't get invited to do a lot of weddings. You know, the kids are a little too young. I did some marriage counseling a couple times, but every time these 8 and 9 year olds came to me and wanted to get married, you know, I advised them to wait. I just told them they were too young. And they got pretty upset with me a few times. There were some tears. But I told them if they talked to their parents would probably agree with me. And so every time I had an opportunity to marry children, I just always denied them the opportunity to get married. And so finally, I've been asked to do a wedding of my cousin, Lindsay. But I had a little problem. You see, I was never ordained, and now I'm not a pastor. And so I didn't know if I could actually do a wedding, because you usually are licensed at a church that you're currently working at. Once you're ordained, you can do weddings the rest of your life. But I had this little dilemma because I was never actually ordained. I was always licensed at a church. Every time I wanted to go through the ordination process, something always came up that prevented that from happening, the busyness of ministry and whatnot. And so I had to say to Lindsay, well, I would be so honored to marry you, but I don't know if I actually can marry you. But it turns out the wedding's in California, and just about anything flies in California. We looked into it, and it turns out that this Thursday, I'm going to go to California, I'm going to go to the city hall, and I am going to be deputized. So I am going to be a deputy of the state of California. I'm hoping I get a badge. I'm going to do the little Barney Fife and put a bullet in my pocket, and I am going to do a wedding as a deputy marshal of the state of California. I think it lasts 48 hours or something like that, and I think I'm going to actually wear a gun and a holster for the wedding. So that's going to be pretty awesome. And then on Monday night, as long as I'm there and the Fellowship of Christian Magicians is meeting, I've got asked to speak and lecture at the Magic Castle in Hollywood at the Fellowship of Christian Magicians. And let me just say again, if you are a magician or a clown or into storytelling or balloons or drama, you need to join the Fellowship of Christian Magicians. Even if there's not a chapter in your local area, you get a great magazine every month or every other month in the mail filled with great resources and ideas. And you could help find a chapter or form a chapter in your area. I've linked their website in the show notes, and you definitely want to check that out. And I'm going to see, does this thing have a redial on it? Yeah, right there. We're going to see if we can get a hold of Greg Baird, because we definitely want to find out if he is available and learn about this Kidman conference. Now, there's a link on the website and in the show notes that if you were there, we want to hear from you too. And we want to find out what you thought of the Kidman conference and any insights. Hey, we got you. We already left you a message and kept talking about some other things. But so where exactly are you, Greg? Wow, so you're on your way to do some Kids Blitz events?
I am. I'm on the way to do 6 events down in Texas and over in Oklahoma and Missouri. I'll be on the road for a couple weeks, and that is about it.
That's pretty awesome. So what is Kids Blitz? Is just Kids with a Z, Blitz, is it end in a Z.com?
Yep, that's it, kidsblitz.com.
All right, well, they've been going strong for a long time. I just swapped emails with Roger today, and I learned something pretty exciting from him that he had never told me. A long time ago, Roger's trailer got stolen, and he had sent out an email to some friends to pray, and I sent out an email way back when Kidology was pretty small. I sent out an email to all the Kidology members sharing what Kids Blitz was and about the need and if anyone wanted to donate. And he just emailed me today and said that he's writing this the story of Kids Blitz and including that.
Right.
And several people had responded to that need, Kidology members and or subscribers, you know, whoever that list was that I wrote to, and had donated to Kids Blitz and helped recover from that that crisis at that time.
Oh, that's awesome! That's awesome.
And that's just so blessed.
You get a whole story of Kids Blitz, and that'll be a great inclusion. That just shows how we can work together and collaborate.
Yeah, that just almost moved me to tears. It just blessed me, and I had never heard that email did any good, and just to know that others reached out and helped, and that was the way I was able to help, and that was pretty cool. So awesome to know that it's grown now that he's got several guys like you out on the road sharing the gospel with kids and churches. How neat is that?
It's wonderful. It's a great opportunity. I love doing it. It's so much fun to have these events kids with and also Affect Live, which is a family experience, and just a blast doing it. Like you said, we get to share the gospel, so doesn't really get much better than that.
Well, it was a real treat for us at Yosemite Summit last year, which you went on. All the guys got to come see you on the Saturday night before Yosemite Summit, and that was awesome. But the reason we called you today, and we got to hope your signal doesn't drop, was that you not only got to go to the Kidmin Conference, Group's Children's Ministry Conference that they've kind of rebooted. They're back. But you were also a presenter, and we'd love to hear about the conference, what it was like in general terms, what made it unique. I haven't heard if they're planning to do it in 2012, and so give us kind of your perspective on it.
Well, it was a great opportunity to participate in the first event of something. So they have done conferences in the past, but this was the very first Kidmin Conference. And a different approach than the typical conference. They wanted it to be very conversational and interactive. They created a lot of opportunities to create conversation, everything from small groups that were specific to different ministry types, for example, urban ministry or small church ministry or large church or, you know, special needs. So they had these little conversations. And that's really all they were. They were led by a children's ministry leader, but it wasn't a workshop or it was kind of a guided conversation to kind of share what everybody's doing in that particular area. So they did those types of things, and even to the point of bringing in these huge beanbags. I can't even remember the name of the company. I wish I did. But just to create an environment to have these conversations. So
everybody's sitting in beanbags, more talking and exchanging within groups based on the size of their church, as opposed to going into a lecture room and hearing 45 minutes of a prepared lecture.
Right. Now, that's one thing that they did, and they did a few things to create these conversations. But then they also had the specific teaching time. They had workshops, which, you know, would be typical of a conference. Then they had pre-conference sessions, which I was able to do one on evaluation. That was an all-day event on Friday. And then they did what they called half-tracks, which were four-hour intensive. And then they did deeper learning tracks, which were eight-hour intensive, spread over 2 days. And I was able to do one of those as well on strategic planning and kids' ministry. So it was a lot of fun. They had also, of course, the general session. They brought in some terrific worship bands and some wonderful speakers in the general session time. So it was just a real good experience. They did a wonderful job of bringing it all together and presenting it. Very few glitches that I'm even aware of. So it was great. It was really a lot of fun.
It sounds like a lot of variety. 4 hour sessions, 8 hour sessions, the typical general sessions, regular workshops, these conversations, and then did people pick and choose, or did everybody participate in all of these?
No, they picked and choose, were able to attend the ones that they wanted to, even to the point of mixing and matching. For example, if you wanted to participate in the first part, day one of a deeper learning track, which is actually 8 hours spread over 2 days, perhaps you wanted to go to the first part of it, and then the next day they jumped into another track. You're allowed to do that, and I know some people did that. Or if you wanted to just stay focused on the same topic, you were able to do that as well. So it's really very flexible, and like you said, a lot of different opportunities that depending on what you really wanted to do.
That's fascinating. Now, I know Tom Bump started a thread on Kidology asking folks, and one thing he asked was how accessible were the speakers. You know, sometimes the speakers, it's not necessarily a criticism or a fault of their own, but they seem kind of aloof. You know, they speak, and then, you know, there's people huddled around them, and they're not very accessible. As one of the speakers, how accessible would you say you were to the general attender? You know, do they have access to you more or less than other conferences that you've spoken at?
Yeah, that's a great question. And typically when I speak at a conference, I really want to be available, you know, for the conversations between sessions at lunch and dinner and other times. So I really try and make a point. But going into the conference, Ruth made a very specific effort to communicate with each one of us to be available between sessions in the conversations that they organize. And really at all times. So specifically, I was, I taught the pre-session on Friday, and then I had an eight-hour track, which was 4 hours on Saturday and 4 hours on Sunday. So, and then I was involved in a couple of the conversations. That actually had about 16, 17 hours of scheduled teaching time. But I would say, you know, in between each session and all of the meals, I had numerous conversations with a lot of different people, both inside, you know, that were participating in my track, as well as others that I just came across and then entered into conversations with. So Ruth really specifically encouraged us and asked us to be available as speakers, and as far as I could tell, most of us were. And that was, I think, one of the highlights for me personally, because I just love connecting with people that are in the trenches and learning myself through these conversations.
Well, I know you are very relational, and I've seen you sitting around talking to people. That's my favorite part of conferences. I've gone to a CPC, you know, I've been to every one since 1995, and even when I'm not speaking, I still go. I don't go because I'm a speaker. I go because I want to talk to people and network, and I know other people have other speakers. Professionals like us have that heart, and some don't, and that's unfortunate. But it's neat that they encouraged some to do that maybe aren't naturally as wired that way. Now, as far as resources go, obviously it was a group conference, whereas CPC is more of a trade show. So a lot of times people kind of will criticize a group conference and say, well, they didn't have other resources. And I always try to encourage people not to make that comparison, because it's in some ways an unfair comparison. A group event is a group event, and so it's kind of unfair to say, well, they didn't have other publishers there. Well, it was a group event, and so group's going to have group resources there. And so I don't really criticize them for that. I think, you know, that's what they're there to do, is to minister to people and have their resources there. Did they have, you know, great discounts on their resources? Was there anything that wasn't group? Did they have any missions things or other things, or was it, what was the resource atmosphere there?
They had a resource section. This was at the Hyatt Hotel, so it was out in the lobby outside of where the main sessions were held. And they did have several other exhibitors, resource companies available. They had several that were available from other resources and other companies, and they did have some deep discounts on their own resources, and of course they had many of their own resources out there, but it was certainly not the size of exhibit area as like a CPC, which is one thing that CPC is known for.
But they
had a lot of resources available and a wide selection, and it was really good.
Well, one thing I've always admired about group is that if they're going to do anything, they don't do it unless they're going to do it right. And my very first national conference was in 1995. It was their Children and Youth National Conference, and it was the first time I ever spoke at something. And I was unknown, untested, and they probably took a risk on me because I had this little internet website back then. I think it was even AOL.com/Kidology back then. And but the way they treated me, you know, being an unknown, and they just blessed my socks off, it really taught me a lesson on how to treat speakers and how to honor people. I took mental notes and decided, man, if I ever do a conference, I didn't know then that I would someday, I'm going to always treat people the way group treated me at mine. And and they just set the bar so high. So I'm always so impressed with what they do and how they do it. And I really wanted to be there, and it didn't work out for me this year, but definitely impressed with everything that group does, and glad that you were able to be there. For those who couldn't go to your sessions, obviously you can't summarize quickly, but what was the heartbeat of the challenge on what you gave in your evaluation workshop track?
The heartbeat, I would say, is the realizing that really we can't get to where we want to go unless we know where we're at. And so we talked in the pre-conference session that I did on evaluating your children's ministry, and spent a great deal of time on how to do that with different methods and so on. And that was the general idea, is that we really got to know where we're at. So many times in ministry, we jump into new initiatives and new projects and new programs and things like that without really stepping back and assessing where we're at right now. So that was the first one. And then the deeper learning track was on strategic planning. And it kind of took the next step. Once you kind of know where you're at, how do you get to where you want to go? So we spent 2 days talking about that and talking about methods and processes that you can implement in your own ministry to strategically plan where you're going and you know, get to where you want to be. So that, in a nutshell, that's kind of what we talked about as far as my sessions go.
Well, that's important. Well, you know, maybe I'll link in the show notes. We've got a resource on Kidology called Reflections on My Children's Ministry, and it's a simple tool to help people not survey. I hate the word survey, but strategically give a tool to key people in their ministry to reflect on where the children's ministry is. And then there's a leadership lab on evaluating and looking forward and making some plans of where they want to be. And maybe I'll link to those. So if people are listening to you and saying, man, I need to do that, we can give them some tools to do that. And if there's anything that you would like to share, notes or whatever, when you're not driving, feel free to email that to me, and I can link that or share that. Or if you've got a blog post on your website, I'd be happy to share that to our listeners as well.
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Well, hopefully you're talking hands-free, and we're not endangering your life. I appreciate your time and for talking to us.
Hey, no problem. Hey, one final thing. I do know that group has scheduled next year's. I don't have the dates right on my fingertips here, but it's toward the end of September. And if you just do a search on group Kidmin Conference, find the dates for next year. They've already got those scheduled.
And they've probably got early registration discounts that people can take advantage of too, I bet.
Probably so. And it's going to be in Chicago again at the same place. So if you just visit the website, then I'm sure you'll be able to find that information.
Excellent. All right. And those of you looking for a job or a change in job, we've had it with your senior pastor. Greg can help with that with KidmanJobs.com. That's his his ministry. And or if you're looking to have a awesome outreach with Kids Blitz, what's your region?
I'm typically over in the Western region, doing some fill-in here for down in the South here. And but I'm typically out in the Western region, California, Arizona, Oregon, that area out there. Love to visit their church and do an event for them.
All right. Well, thanks so much. We'll let you get back to driving.
All right. Thank you, Carl.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Well, that worked out pretty good. And that's Greg Baird, and he also hosts the Leadership Forum on Kidology in our forum. That was pretty cool. Well, now it's time to transition and find out, as we continue in our ABCs of Kidology, what is our letter D stand for? And to kick it off, let's pretend it stands for
David, son of Jesse, king of the Israelites. Born in Bethlehem, a shepherd boy, soon would be Israel's pride and joy. Learned to play the harp all by himself, and killed himself a lion when he was only 12. David, son of Jesse, King of the Israelites.
It's another parody from Creative Ministry Solutions.
The Philistines, you recall, they had Goliath over 9 feet tall. David said, I'm not impressed with your size. Put a pebble in his sling and hit him right between the eyes.
Ooh,
David,
that had to hurt.
Son of Jesse, king of the Israelites, soon became king of Israel. Amassed a lot of riches, so we heard tell. Wrote a lot of psalms and fought a few wars. Brought back the ark and a whole lot more. David,
that's quite a summary of the life of David, isn't it?
King of the Israelites. His story's in the Bible for all to see. All his defeats and his victories. He tried to be the best king that he could be. Had Jesus in his family tree. David, son of Jesse, king of the Israelites. King of the Israelites.
And there you have it, David. Well, it isn't David. But that's from the Volume 2, Righteous Pop Music. I love Volume 2 because it's all television parodies. Those are just great for playing at a children's ministry event. If you're doing a harvest outreach or something, I don't know if it's too late to get that in time now, but those are just great to have blasting over the speakers. But the letter D in our Kidmin alphabet, ABCs of Kidology, that's what I'm trying to say. We are now up to the letter D. And I actually did get an email from somebody who has their original Kidology handbook. Ron has got it. He got it back, he thinks, in Columbus, Ohio at the Kidology University back there. So he knows that the original D was to discipline with a smile. But I'm changing it, all right? That's a great one. There's a great article there in Kidology, Discipline That Disciples. And I used to use an acronym. I still do when I do my workshop. And the SMILE is an acronym, I'm not going to go through that today because I'm changing the letter D. And boy, did I get some great suggestions. There are a lot of words that start with the letter D. Now, if my son were participating, he would say it stands for dirt. He would say it stands for dogs. He would say it stands for diggers. There's a lot of letter. Diggers is like a bulldozer. But boy, we had some fun ones. Nikki said it stands for delicious. That's very appropriate. Nikki Straza up there in Canada. Often I will turn to her for help with Disciple Land, Disciple Town, when I need snack ideas, because she is just so creative, I'm not a real snack guy, and so she has contributed many times to Disciple Town when I've just needed some creative ideas, many of the snacks that you have prepared for Disciple Town have actually come from Nikki's contributions. Boy, Tom Bump, he said determination. Boy, is that a good one. You do need determination in children's ministry. He also said discovery. He mentioned discipline. All right, so that would have been right if I had changed it. And people said dedication. Boy, is that a good one. Or delight. And Joan, she said the first thing that came to mind was the devil. Now, I don't know if we need the devil in children's ministry. But Martin, he improved it. He took that and he said, daredevil. There's times you need to be a little bit of a daredevil. And someone else said daring, which would be similar. But the winner this week who nailed it was Brenda. And I don't even know if I can pronounce her last name. Zizolfo. I don't know. Forgive me. I probably mispronounced that. But she's probably used that her whole life or since she got married. People butchering her last name. And also, Todd McGeever, now he's on staff, so maybe he shouldn't qualify to win. He also said discipleship, but he also said Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I don't know if those belong in the same sentence, although much discipleship happens over Dunkin' Donuts. He also said discovery, and he also said depth, and I like that. He just threw out a whole bunch, so I don't even know if that's fair to throw out a whole list. So we're going to let Brenda be the winner because she just said one word. She just said discipling. In fact, that was her first post on Kidology in the forums. And how appropriate that her first post was just one word and she nailed it. But you know what, Todd? Because it was your first answer, We're going to mail you the Almighty Bible, Book of Acts. I'll autograph it because I'm on the back cover there giving them a great quote. And we're going to send Brenda a Righteous Pop Music CD. I'm going to surprise you which one that I'm going to send you in the mail. And that is courtesy of Creative Ministry Solutions. So you're just going to find that in the mail. I'll probably have to private message you, or you can email me your address so that I can mail you that in the mail. But our D word is discipleship. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on leading kids to Christ and saving kids. But you know what? Jesus only gave one command, and that was to go into the world and make disciples. Now, obviously, we have to get kids saved for them to become a disciple. You can't be a disciple if you've not asked Christ to be your Savior, if you've not chosen to follow Him. But too often in children's ministry, we're all about that sinner's prayer and getting kids to raise hands so we can put notches in our, you know, children's ministry belt, or put numbers on our results card, and we forget all about the kids after that. And we do them a disservice, because if we've not made kids into disciples and they just grow up with this memory that, you know, back when they were 7 years old at a vacation Bible school or at some church event, they prayed a prayer, we've done a great disservice to them. Because especially if there really wasn't a transformation in their heart and there really wasn't a change and they just went through the motions of repeating a prayer, they may not actually be changed, because salvation is not the repeating of a prayer. Salvation is a choosing to follow Christ for the rest of their life. And someone who actually isn't saved and actually isn't a disciple, but they just merely said some words, may go through life actually believing something that isn't true. And so God called us to go and make disciples. That's what Jesus called us. That is our highest calling. And so as I describe in one of the leadership labs, I believe it's the Ministry Foundations, Kid Foundations Ministry Lab, I kind of describe this story, which I got from Dick Kreider. Imagine Jesus coming to your church in person and just showing up. And I know he's there all the time in spirit, but imagine him physically showing up at your church. And what chaos that would cause. And I mean, you would just be in awe. And of course, you'd want to give him a tour once you got over the initial shock. And you would show him your beautiful children's ministry rooms. And you might have a playground to show him, or an awesome children's ministry kids' church room. You'd show him your bulletin boards and really wish you'd updated them. And you would show him the nursery and the security procedures that you have in place to keep the kids safe. And you would just walk them all over your building, and you would just give them this incredible tour. And imagine if the end of this tour of your children's ministry, Jesus said to you, well, it's obvious that you love the kids and that you do everything possible to reach them and to keep them safe and to make coming to church fun and exciting and to make learning engaging. But I just want to ask you one question. Where are my disciples? And you might answer him by saying, "Well, Jesus, they're everywhere. I mean, they're all over the place. Don't you see the children?" And he'd say, "I see lots of children, but would you introduce me to a few of my disciples? Would you know who his disciples are in the midst of those children?" You see, Jesus has called us to make disciples, and we should know who his disciples are. Who are your disciples? You know, to whom have you said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ"? You know, see, there's something really special as a children's ministry worker when you take it upon yourself to follow Jesus' example and disciple some individual children. And that's something that's very rare in the church today. And I'm not going to take time on this podcast to get into a workshop on what it means to disciple children. But see, Jesus ministered to the masses, but he poured his life into 12 disciples. And I would challenge you to consider doing that in your ministry. I always poured my life into some few individual kids, discipling them by meeting with them, in my pouring into my kids' church crew. And I can name by name the kids who were my disciples, the kids who I specifically poured into to make sure that I knew that they were following Christ and that they knew the essentials of the Christian faith. In fact, that's why my wife and I wrote the Awesome Adventure Discipleship Tool. It is a book that's fun and creative, and it has 12 lessons on the basis of the Christian faith, and it's designed to take a child through, whether it's a parent with their child or a children's worker with an individual child. Usually I would meet with two at a fast food place like Taco Bell, and to go through and make sure that they know the basics of the Christian faith. That's what discipleship is. It's an individual meeting with someone else and pouring into them what you know about Jesus and training them to follow him. Did you know that DiscipleTown, the kids' church curriculum that I write in partnership with DiscipleLand, teaches disciple skills? It is a children's church curriculum designed to make disciples. It's going to cover 24 disciple skills, skills that kids need in order to be a disciple, because we're called to make disciples. Too often in our children's ministries, we do what I call a shotgun effect. We just shoot a whole bunch of stuff at kids, hoping that some of it sticks, instead of being intentional about making disciples. So I would challenge you to reflect on your children's ministry and see if you are pouring into specific kids, and choose one, two, or three kids that you want them to be your disciples. And I guarantee those are going to be the kids who you'll have the biggest impact in. The kids who were my disciples in my ministry, many of them are in Bible college today, and many of them are in ministry. And I believe it is because they were singled out and became disciples, and I took them through a process of making sure they were really following Jesus Christ. Because that's our goal. We want them to walk like a Christian.
I love the churches on the street. They preach the gospel, don't you know? In Sunday school,
hallelujah.
They teach the kids about the Bible, and the preacher man in the pulpit preaches the word. Hear him speak. Crowds getting blessed.
Hallelujah.
It's helping them live throughout the week. Hear the choir in the choir loft sing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Walk like a Christian.
That's what discipleship's all about. Helping kids to walk like a Christian.
Businessmen take their Bibles up to their business offices. They stop to pray.
Hallelujah.
Just like they did at the services. All the school kids acting out their faith. They love and they witness to their friends. When the buzzer rings.
Hallelujah.
They're walking just like a Christian. All the kids in the schoolyard say.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And you want your children to
walk like a Christian.
That's right. And so you meet with them regularly. You go through the Word of God with them. You assign them scripture memory passages. You ask them questions. You talk about what's going on in their life. And you pour into them. And as a result, they become your disciples, as you are Christ's disciple, and eventually they will become disciplers themselves. And as they watch you walk like a Christian, guess what? Eventually they will walk like a Christian.
All the women in the congregation live it at work and at home, like Court and Boom.
Hallelujah.
The strength of their faith is widely known. If you want to find all the teens, they meet with their Bible study group. And praise.
Hallelujah.
They're knocking the devil for a loop. All the grandparents tell how God's been faithful again and again. They ought to know.
Hallelujah.
They've walked for years like Christians. All the people in the congregation say.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Walk like a Christian.
That's our goal.
Walk like a Christian.
That's our prayer for our kids. Not just to come to church and have fun and play games, but to be transformed and to totally be on fire for God. And yes, that's another parody from Creative Ministry Solutions. Well, Marty sent me a great email this week. In fact, he typed it out on his iPad, so I instantly thought he was pretty cool. But he wrote about volunteers, and he's been a volunteer for 20 years, and he asked if I would talk to volunteers. And I want volunteers to know that they've got a special place in my heart. I love volunteers. In fact, when I'm writing for Kidology, and when I'm talking on this podcast, I've got volunteers in mind. In fact, I'm primarily focused on volunteers. I know children's pastors are listening, but usually they're too busy to be on Kidology. I know the vast majority of the people who are on Kidology are volunteers. Now, we've got lots of great leadership stuff on the website because leadership resources and training is desperately needed in the world of Kidmin, because there just isn't a lot out there, and that's why I create it. But I know that the vast majority of the people who come here are volunteers, and they're getting classroom ideas, and they're getting resources, and they're getting help, and they're finding answers to questions, because frankly, they are often the ones who are just stuck in the nursery.
Well, I don't know why I signed up tonight. I got a feeling that something ain't right. It's been hours since I sat in a chair, and I think that I might pull out my hair. Babies to the left of me, diapers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the nursery with you.
You ever feel like that's you?
Yes, I'm stuck in the nursery with you.
Oh, I've been there.
And I'm wondering what it is I should do. I got baby food here on my face.
Ew.
And there's diaper rash all over the place.
Oh.
Babies to the left of me, diapers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the nursery with you. Well, it's getting pretty noisy, and it doesn't smell like ministry.
But it is. Oh,
when
yes,
I
it
saw
is.
It was my Sunday, I got down on my knees and begged. Well, I didn't get to listen or sing, but the ministry can be lots of things. Thank the person who took care of your child so that you could go and worship a while. Babies to the left of me, diapers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the nursery with you. Here I am, stuck in the nursery with you. Here I am, stuck in the nursery with you.
Well, that's a great song, and I just want to dedicate that to all of our volunteers. Well, Marty asked a great question. He asked, what makes a great volunteer, and how can volunteers better support their leaders? He also asked, how can they keep growing, and how can they keep from getting frustrated? And those are great questions, and I would love to make sure that I include in this Kidmin Talk elements for volunteers. And so if you're a volunteer, please know Kidmin Talk is not aimed only at professional leaders. There's going to be elements for leaders, but it is for volunteers as well. A volunteer's role is to serve and to help in the children's ministry. And so I'm going to take that word help, and I'm just going to make it an acronym, and I'm going to give you four ways that you can help your leader. It's just H-E-L-P. I love acronyms. I think an acronym is an acronym. An acronym stands for a crazy riddle of nuggets yielding meaning. Okay, I love acronyms. I mean, Windows stands for will install needless data on whole system. And just to be fair, Macintosh stands for most applications crash. If not, the operating system hangs. So what does help stand for? Well, the H is easy. The H simply stands for help. I mean, a volunteer, if you really want to encourage your leader, look for things your leader is doing that you can do and say, let me do that for you. Actively take things away from your leader that you can do. And don't worry if they can do it better than you. That doesn't matter. And often that is an assumption that isn't true anyway. Your leader needs volunteers who will take the initiative to do things, because believe it or not, they hate asking people because they feel like they're always asking, and they secretly believe that everyone is dreading being asked. So just help without being asked, and you will bless their socks off. Now, believe me, I can tell you, as a leader in children's ministry for over 15 years, I had a hard time believing that there were people that enjoyed doing the stuff that I hated to do. I mean, I understood in my brain that God gifted us all differently, and the things that I stunk at doing, there were people who enjoyed doing that. But I still would feel guilty saying, would you mind doing this for me? Because if I hated doing it, I assumed everyone else hated doing it. But I knew that there were people that God gifted and who had a passion and who loved doing the stuff that I stunk at and that I hated doing. And so I loved it when people would see me doing something or struggling doing something or doing a lousy job at something and would just come to me and say, Carl, stop that. Let me do that. You're terrible at that. Let me do that for you. And I didn't really enjoy it. They told me I was doing a terrible job at it, but it's okay. If they were going to take it from me, I would weather the insult, and I would love it if they would help me and take things away from me. And don't worry that you're going to take so much away that they're going to have nothing to do. That's not going to happen. They're not going to be sitting in their office watching TV, kicking back, drinking lemonade, and just surfing the internet. They have plenty to do. And so help. Be those volunteers who actively just take things away from them so that they can have minister. I had a volunteer once who came to me and said, I have absolutely no gifts in children's ministry. All I can do is fold up chairs. I said, great, you're our chair folder upper. If you would just help fold up chairs after kids church, then I will have more time to just visit with the kids, because I always had to put the chairs away afterward. And I loved that. E, encourage. Almost every really encouraging note that I get starts with, quote, I know you must get lots of these notes, but, and I always laugh because I hardly ever get any. People assume that leaders have encouragement pouring in from all directions, and the reality is they don't. And on any given day, they might just feel like throwing in the towel. Now, don't worry, they probably won't, but they are human too, and they could really use a word of encouragement or even a word of praise. Don't worry, they're not going to get proud and puffed up if you give them a really nice compliment. When was the last time you simply gave them a compliment? An attaboy, attagirl, or took the time to really express what it is they do that is a blessing to you or to the children? They need it year round. Pastor Appreciation Month can be the worst month of the year when they get not one note or card because everyone assumes that everybody else is doing it. And psst, that's this month, by the way. Okay, letter L, lead. Your pastor or your director cannot lead everything. Volunteers who step up and lead areas of ministry are superstars to the pastoral staff. They're the backbone of the church, and their reward will be great since they're serving for an eternal reward and not a paycheck. Is there an area of ministry that you have a passion for? Instead of helping out, maybe it's time to step up and say, I'll lead that, pastor. You just tell me which way to go, and I'll take it from here. You'll get the help and the support you need, but the ministry will be better off as a whole for shared leadership. Your pastor, your leader is juggling, and they're constantly having to shift their attention. And often they feel like they can focus here, and everything over there is kind of falling apart. And then they let go of that, and they run over and provide leadership over there. Well, everything over there is falling apart. They need volunteers who will step up and say, let me lead that. Let me just grab that by the horns and take that from you. And then let your pastor be a consultant to you. They'll give you advice. They'll give you guidance. They'll answer questions. They'll provide you with resources. They'll buy you stuff if the church is able. They will just bless your socks off. But be a volunteer who's willing to lead. There's no paid staff people in the Bible. It's just all the body of Christ doing things. And then the letter P is pray. And I only mention it last because it's the fourth letter of the word help. But do pray for your leaders. Ask them for prayer requests. And then follow up on those prayer requests by asking for updates. That shows you're truly praying. They're under constant spiritual warfare because they're on the front lines of reaching kids, the ripest field. So they're a target of the enemy. Have their backs and hold them up. They will appreciate it so much and it will make a real difference in their life and in the ministry too. So look for ways you can help, encourage, step up, lead, and pray. Next week, I'm going to talk about ways that you can grow as a leader and keep from being frustrated as you serve. And I'm going to continue to address volunteer as well as leadership issues here on Kidman Talk. Well, it's time to wrap up the show. Thanks for listening. Today's program was sponsored by the letter D and River's Edge. Don't forget to download that awesome parent resource there in the show notes. Leave your comments. Today, I'm name dropping Brent Peek. So if you know Brent Peek, tell him to listen to the show. Comment on the show notes page so he can win his prize. Be sure to tell your friends about Kidman Talk and interact with the show by email, carl@kidmantalk.com. Interact in the forum on the show notes page and on Twitter @KidmanTalk. Well, next week's Kidman keyword is going to start with the letter E. What do you think the letter E should stand for? If I pick your word or you guess the word I've thought of, you will be next week's winner. Congratulations to this week's winners. And I look forward to talking Kidmen with you next week.